From here, the path downward to accepting donations for his mother's supposed medical expenses in return for quick glances at his written exam predictions proved to be sufficiently steep and well-oiled for him to be able to slip down it with a minimum of fuss. Then it further transpired that the only dentist who could perform this mysterious dental operation was an East European surgeon now living in Malibu, and it was in consequence necessary to increase the level of donations rather sharply. He still denied, of course, that his abilities were all that they were cracked up to be. In fact, he denied that they existed at all, and insisted that he would never have embarked on the exercise at all if it wasn't to disprove the whole thing. And also, since other people seemed at their own risk to have a faith in his abilities that he himself did not, he was happy to indulge them to the extent of letting them pay for his sainted mother's operation. He could only emerge well from this situation, or so he thought. And all who heard should see them there, and all should cry, "Beware, beware, his flashing eyes, his floating hair." The exam papers Dirk produced under hypnosis by means of automatic writing, he had in fact pieced together simply by doing the same minimum research that any student taking exams would do, studying previous exam papers and seeing what, if any, patterns emerged, and making intelligent guesses about what might come up. He was pretty sure of getting, as anyone would be, a strike rate that was sufficiently high to satisfy the credulous, and sufficiently low for the whole exercise to look perfectly innocent. As indeed it was. What completely blew him out of the water, and caused a furore which ended with him being driven out of Cambridge in the back of a Black Maria, was the fact that all the exam papers he sold turned out to be the same as the papers that were actually set. Exactly, word for word, to the very comma. "Wave a circle round him thrice, and close your eyes with holy dread, for he on honey dew hath fed, and drunk the milk of paradise." And that, apart from a flurry of sensational newspaper reports which exposed him as a fraud, then trumpeted him as the real thing, so that they could have another round of exposing him as a fraud again, and then trumpeting him as the real thing again, until they got bored and found a nice juicy snooker player to harass instead, was that. In the years since then, Richard had run into Dirk from time to time, and had usually been greeted with that kind of guarded half-smile that wants to know if you think it owes you money before it blossoms into one that hopes you will lend it some. Dirk's regular name changes suggested to Richard that he wasn't alone in being treated like this. He felt a tug of sadness that someone who had seemed so shiningly alive within the small confines of a university community should have seemed to fade so much in the light of common day. And he wondered at Reg's asking after him like that, suddenly and out of the blue, in what seemed altogether too airy and casual a manner. He glanced around him again at his lightly snoring neighbour, Reg, at little Sarah, wrapped in silent attention, at the deep hall swathed in darkly glimmering light, at the portraits of old prime ministers and poets hung high in the darkness with just the odd glint of candlelight gleaming off their teeth, at the director of English studies standing reading in his poetry reading voice, at the book of Kubla Khan that the director of English studies held in his hand, and finally, surreptitiously, at his watch. He settled back again. The voice continued, reading the second and altogether stranger part of the poem.